The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, if you got your Bibles, open to the book of Mark. We are still in the fourth chapter. It was the year 1269, and the ruler in China, Kublai Khan, among the Mongols, had sent a letter to Pope Gregory, and says, I want you to send me 100 of your believers, 100 of your priests, and when you send them, I will be baptized, and I will believe in your God. And when I do it, all of my barons and all of my people will become Christians. Pope Gregory got the letter, and he sent two friars to go to China. Those friars got as far as Armenia and didn't want to go any further and went back home. You see, China was in the middle of trying to determine what their spiritual life was going to be like. What religion were they going to embrace? And Kublai Khan wanted to embrace Christianity. But because the Pope only sent two and they never made it, instead, they chose other beliefs. Talk about a missed opportunity. How different would China be today? I mean, granted, China is one of the fastest growing Christian places right now, believe it or not. Christianity is growing in the underground. But what a lot of people would have not lost their lives had it not been for those two friars that decided they didn't want to go any further. Lost opportunities. You know, we all have missed opportunities in our past. The goal is not to have any missed opportunities in our future. So I'm going to ask that you stand as we go to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. Remember, Jesus is talking. He's talking to those after he explained to them the parable of the sower. And he's talking to them, continuing to teach them. He says, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in and put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you. We praise you for the light that came into the world. Help us, Father, to not hide it under a bushel, but to put it on a lampstand to be shined for all to see. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the parable of the sower last week, if you were here or if you heard the sermon, you remember what the purpose of that parable was, to show that our hearts, the condition of our hearts, determines our ability to accept truth. If my heart is hard, if my heart is shallow, if my heart is divided, the truth does not grow in me and I don't produce fruit. I need good soil to produce fruit. And when we receive it, we don't just receive the truth, but we act upon it and we multiply. And if we reject the truth, what little truth we had, we're going to lose it. And that's referencing to the Pharisees and the scribes. But we too could lose the truth we have. See, if we are truly believers in Christ, then we have been made new by God through Jesus Christ for what? Why did we become new? Why did we become believers? Why did God send his son to die for us? Why did we accept him? It's not for us. It is to shine into a dark place. The whole purpose of coming to Christ and being a believer is that we are to shine. Our purpose is to sow the seed of the gospel and that can grow and multiply 30, 60, 100-fold. That was at the end of that parable. That is our purpose here. Anybody wants to know, you know, why are we here? What's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to praise God and to share his word and to multiply. That's the purpose of our lives. See, I believe that if you're not multiplying, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. A plant. Now, what are these plants? Chickens and hens, right? Have you ever, like, taken one and placed it and then come back later, you know, a couple weeks later? I mean, they multiply like crazy. They're like rabbits. I think they should be called rabbits, but that's okay. They're chicken and hens. A plant was meant to multiply. As I showed you last week, and the seed I gave you last week is a lettuce seed. My lettuce grows, and it produces, you know, leaves that I can eat, and it nourishes me. But ultimately, its ultimate purpose is to bolt and have hundreds and hundreds of seeds that fly off in the wind to multiply. That is the plant's purpose. That is our purpose, to make more disciples. Good soil, a fruitful heart, will produce more fruit. But in order to do that, we must share the truth. We must share the light. Now, there's something about light. Light is interesting, because what is the purpose of light? To shine, right? Light has no other purpose but to shine. And what does Jesus ask? He says, what do you do? Do you come into a room and do you take a lamp and do you put it under a basket or a bushel, depending on your, if you're reading King James? Or do you stick it under a bed? No, what do you do with it? You put it on a lampstand. Okay, you put it on a lampstand. And the lamp that Jesus is referring to was this little oil lamp. It could fit in your hand. That's how small they were. And what they would do is they would put oil in it. You can see the big hole there. They'd put oil in it. Then they would take a cloth and they'd roll it up and they'd stick the cloth down inside it and they'd light it. And that would be the lamp. And it would burn. Isaiah 49:6 says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. It says, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. What has happened here is we get to see the purpose of God in Israel. Israel's purpose was not just to be God's people and enjoy life. Their purpose was to actually change the nations around them. Their purpose was to show God to the other nations and lead those other nations back to God. What did they do? The other nations led them away from God. They failed. They failed miserably. He wanted them to do it and they couldn't do it. Isaiah 49:3 says, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. God wanted to show his splendor in the people of Israel, but they couldn't. They weren't able to do it. They failed at it. And what they did is they ended up creating a whole different religion with all these rules and regulations that they put around the ones that God had given them. Many of them oral. They weren't even written down. So the kingdom of God remained hidden during that whole time. But when we get to Jesus, it's now starting to come out. But see, people don't quite understand this whole idea of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The Pharisees ask him. And in Luke 17:20-21 says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, they wanted to know, when is it? When is it? He answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. You can't see it, is what he's saying. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is here right now among us. It's here. But it's not something you can touch. It's not something that you can see, and it's not like we have some physical ruler that we can, you know, go to and ask for him to pass laws or whatever. It's not that way. The kingdom of God is in here and amongst us now. Christ rules. He is Lord and Savior. He needs to be Lord and Savior of your life. If he's not Lord and Savior of your life, you're not part of the kingdom. That's a hard thing to think about. But if Jesus Christ is not Lord and Savior of my life, if I am not surrendering everything I have to him, I am not part of the kingdom. Now, I may struggle with some of that, and I do. I have discussions with God all the time. God, I don't know, I kind of like to do that my own way. You know, song we just sang? It's all about you. It's not as if you should do things my way. Don't we always want to do things my way? Well, your way. I want to do things my way. I want everybody else to do things my way. I want Beth and the kids to do everything my way. What foolishness is that? I know better. Because I know my way are not good. My ways are not good. That's why God says, my ways are higher than your ways. You don't understand it. You can't. So just do it. Do what God wants you to do. Surrender. See, the kingdom is here. And Jesus is saying that anything that has been hidden, which the kingdom of God had been hidden, needs to be revealed. It is made to be revealed. Have you ever put something away, like a Christmas present, birthday present, and you hide it? And then you forget about it, and then you don't even find it for years later. That present's not meant to be hidden away. It's meant to come out. Now, I always thought that the present was hidden so that I could find it before Christmas. But anything hidden is meant to come out. The kingdom of God is meant to come. We're meant to see it spiritually. We don't see it physically. Remember that. Jesus says in John 8:12, he says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Our responsibility as part of the kingdom of God is to share the light with our coworkers, with our families, with our neighbors, with our friends, with those we run into on the street, with our oikos, so that they can have the light of life. We share Jesus with them so that they could be out of darkness. We are walking in darkness in this world. Now, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, pretty bright today. But we are walking in spiritual darkness. And Jesus is the light. And we need to share it with those so that they too can have the light of life. You remember Sunday school when you were a kid? What'd you sing? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Man, talk about some rich theology in children's songs. And I think as we got older, we forgot that song. Because I'm not so sure how our lights are shining today. I'm not looking at you guys saying, you guys aren't shining your light. I'm looking in the mirror and saying, man, is your light shining? Or are you hiding it under a bushel? Because see, for us today, the lamp represents the truth that Jesus gives to us in the scriptures. He passed those truths on to his disciples, and then they passed them on to us. And we read these truths, and we should live these truths. We should be these truths. Matthew 5:14-16 says, Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and he gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, the interesting thing about a light, I mean, we're kind of spoiled now because we have electricity. And you turn a switch on and there's power. But in that time, there was no electricity. So you had lamps. And what you would do, like I say, you'd have to fill the oil. What happens to that oil as the wick burns? It goes out. You run out. So you have to what? Refill it. Now, I want you to think about something. As I share the gospel with somebody, don't I have to fill myself with something first? If I'm going to share the light with somebody, I have to have something that I can burn. I have to fill myself with the Word of God. Warren Wiersbe is a pastor and author. He says, the more we hear the Word of God, the better we are able to share it with others. Well, that kind of makes sense. The more you hear a story, the better you can share it. Caleb, I did this stupid thing this week with him. I told him, I said, Pete was over and we were telling the story about, who was the guy? Who was the original? I can't remember the guy. But he was saying this Indian name. And I said, well, I know an Indian name. His first name is Owa. His middle name is Tagu. And his last name is Siam. So say that all together with me. Owa, Tagu, Siam. Say it all together again, quickly together. Owa, Tagu, Siam. Bad joke. I know. But I was doing that with Caleb. Well, guess what Caleb tries to do? He tries to do it, but he'd only heard it a couple times. He couldn't get it, and he ruined the joke. Which is fine, being that age. We need to take things in. We need to spend the time learning and hearing and reading and exploring and experiencing and living. And by that, we can go out and share it with others. Like he says, the more we hear the Word of God, the better we are able to share it with others. The moment we think we know it all, what we think we know will be taken from us. Truth belongs where it can do the most good. And Jesus says, what do you do? When you come in, you don't put it under a bushel, you set it on a stand. So that the whole room is filled. Unfortunately, I can't darken this room enough. It would be a great example to show you. If it's pitch black and you light a candle and you put it under a bushel, you won't see it. But you put it on the stand and it lights the whole room. See? You don't just put it on the stand because it lights the whole room, though. What happens if you stick it under a bed? You take a light, you take a candle, and you stick it under a bed. What's it going to do? It's going to catch your house on fire. Yeah. It's for safety reasons also. See, Jesus didn't come to burn down our families. He didn't come to hurt us. He doesn't come. The things we go through in our lives are not meant to destroy us. The things we go through in our lives are meant to grow us. Light was meant to lift families and push back the darkness. And it is a dark, dark place. See, you and I have been given God's light. We've been given Jesus Christ. We've been given the truth, and we've been given God's word, and it's given to us because we are meant to share it. And not just with those we know that are believers. We're meant to share it with everybody. Remember last week when we were talking about the sower, the farmer didn't just say, okay, I know where the good soil is, so I'm going to walk down this row and I'm only going to plant it in the good soil. What did he do? He broadcast it. He threw it out. It landed on bad soil, rocky soil, hard soil, thorns. We're not just to go to somebody who we know is a believer and say, I need to share the gospel with you. Oh yeah, I know all about that. We're supposed to go to people who don't know the gospel. We're supposed to go to everybody. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4, Paul tells Timothy, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to see the light. Now, there are those who see it and reject it. But that's not my problem. That's not my fault. That's not my concern. My concern is to take the light to them. If I take the light to them, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I have used it the way I'm supposed to. Doesn't that say that in here? Yeah. Pay attention to what you hear with what measure you use. It's important how we use the light. Author Ron Humphrey, in his book entitled Hearts on Fire, he noticed some very sobering statistics. He said the average member of a Church of Christ has heard 4,000 sermons, sung 20,000 songs, participated in 8,000 public prayers, and converted zero sinners. We have heard many sermons, 4,000 average, sung 20,000 songs, participated in 8,000 prayers, and we have converted nobody. We've not shared the light. This is average. I mean, how can we sit through another Sunday morning of listening and not take action? If we sat here and I brought out a chalkboard and I said, okay, so here's how we cure cancer. And I write it out. And it works for all cancers. What would you do? Man, I'd be taking photos of it and I'd be running out and sharing it with whoever I can. I'm sorry, we have a cure for the cancer that's plaguing this world that's going to destroy it, for the darkness that's in it. And yet, we don't share it. And I'm not, believe me, I'm looking at myself when I say this. I'm getting better at it, but I am not a big evangelist. I'm not. But God has given me the ability, if I surrender to Him, to share it with who I need to share it with. In a way, I need to share it. Because see, Billy Graham once said, we are the Bibles the world is reading, we are the creeds the world is needing, and we are the sermons the world is heeding. But we have many, many enemies out there. There are many today. Apathy, indifference, unbelief, depression, disappointment, laziness, ignorance. The thorns are growing up in our soil, and the list goes on and on. Rudyard Kipling was an author, and he walked up to William Booth, who was the founder of Salvation Army, and says, here's what he says. He says, I'm going to get this right. Sir, I'm sorry, wrong one. He says, I despise anyone who plays the tambourine. He was telling William Booth, now you got to understand Salvation Army at the time, they would sit in the corner, have a band, and play the tambourine and play the drum and play the horn to reach people for Christ. And I love William Booth's response. He says, young man, if I thought I could win one more soul for Christ by standing on my head and beating a tambourine with my feet, which is what I'm doing, I would learn how to do it. He's willing to go to the extreme to save one person. One more soul for Christ. I would learn to stand on my head and play with my feet, if that's what it took. D.L. Moody was an evangelist, and he's walking down the street, and he walks up to the guy and says, sir, are you a Christian? And the guy says, sir, that's none of your business. And D.L. Moody says, yes, it is my business. It's our business whether or not somebody's a believer or not. Now, in today's world, you're going to get flat. Believe me, you're not going to be popular. You're going to run into a lot of hard soil. You're going to run into a lot of shallow soil. The thorns in your life are going to try to keep you from doing it. But every once in a while, you run into that good soil. And man, that just gives you such joy. And it pushes you forward to the next one. Why do we allow safety, popularity, or self-indulgence to take priority over the proclamation of the gospel? Now, granted, I could preach the gospel every Sunday and you guys could come in and hear it, but it stays here. If we don't go out and share it out there, what good is it? I mean, we're all saved already, right? We've been redeemed. We're good. But that's not why we're here. We're here to fill your lamp with oil so that you can shine your light out there. Jesus again says to them, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. See, this is a warning. Our ears were meant to hear. Now, you start to think about how God designed us. Our ears are here, right? Where's our brain? Right here? Now, my son does not hear his mom tell him to do things. I wonder if his ears are on his feet. Because somewhere between his ears and his brain, it gets lost. Sometimes my wife says the same thing about me. And sometimes she's right. God intended for our ears to hear. He intended for our ears to go to our brain and spark us to action. What you hear, you will be measured by how much you act upon it. We need to act. We must pay attention. We are responsible for what we hear. You know, in the computer world, I remember back when computers were first getting started, and there were a lot of little catchphrases that people were saying as computers. One of the big ones was garbage in, garbage out. If you have somebody who is a terrible programmer and they program in garbage to the computer, you're going to get garbage out. I was trained as an accountant. I used spreadsheets when they were first developed. And, you know, if I put the wrong numbers in, what am I going to get? The wrong answer. When I have the wrong answer in an accounting program, I go searching back through all the numbers to find out which one's wrong. It's not the computer's fault. We always blame the computer, don't we? Oh, stupid computer. No, it's user error. It's called what we call pack error, person at the keyboard. But garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in your head, you're going to get garbage out. That's why we need to read and hear the Word of God. We need to listen to the right things. And we need to act upon what we are hearing. We need to pay attention to it. We are responsible to obey and share with others. When we hear the Word of God, we are responsible to obey its commands, incorporate its principles into our lives, heed its warnings, share those commands with others, promises, the principles, and the warnings. We are responsible for that. If a hurricane, you got to think about this. How long ago, they were talking about, like down in Texas, back when Galveston was hit back in the early 1900s. I mean, they had no way of knowing. Oh, hey. See the clouds out there? That's a storm. Wow, that's pretty cool. Galveston was leveled because there was no warning. Now we have warnings. Now we track it. We can say, oh, it's probably going to go this way. There's this, you know, people in this area. And then people evacuate. At least in Florida they've been. Texas they didn't do it because it didn't make sense because it would have been worse. We have the warnings. We have the promises which give us hope. We have the things we're supposed to do. We can't just hang on to them. We need to share them and tell others. So what do we do? What do we need to do? Your job is to listen well and listen with wisdom. Listen well. Test the spirits. Listen to all that God has to say in Christ through the Bible. God's teaching and Christ's instructions deserve close attention. I'm not one who likes to read manuals. In fact, I don't think I've ever read an instruction manual on anything. I kind of look at the pictures, and then I do it. I'm sorry, but I'm wrong, because here's one instruction manual I have read. And that's what this is. We need to read it with wisdom. And what does God expect for us? We need to love truth, acquire truth, and let truth become real in our lives. If it's not real in your life, what good is it? We need to read it. We need to take it. We need to absorb it. We need to live it. And when we love the truth, we are willing to live the truth and are giving more truth. There are things that my kids can't do because they can't do it. So I give them a few things to do. All parents do that. You don't tell your two-year-old, hey, go out and mow the lawn. Yeah, here's the key to the riding lawnmower. First of all, I've talked to Caleb about this. I said, you can't ride, you can't mow the lawn yet. You can't reach the pedals, you know. You don't tell your six-year-old, here's the keys, go get some milk from the store. Well, some people do. There's some stories of people who do some crazy things with their kids, but we grow into it. As we gain truth, we get more truth. And we let our lives shine. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is what we are to do. That is me telling my son, go upstairs and do this. Not stand at the window and look at the birds. Not go into your sister's room and play with her stuff. Not ignore your neighbors and not share the gospel with them and not even just share love with them. Not just talk to them at least. We are to be making disciples, and this always starts with prayer that leads to a relationship that leads to sharing the gospel. Can you share the light that God has given you? Can you do it? That's the question. Can you? God has given you light. He has given you what you need to share the gospel. He's not going to give you the knowledge that I have. He's not going to give you the knowledge that Becky or Trent or Ross or Adam. He's given you what you need. Are you going to use it? One day, you'll be held accountable for what you did with the gospel. We will all be held accountable for what we did for the gospel. God gives us opportunities to share the gospel. He weaves our lives in and out of other people's lives. He gives us opportunities. The question is, are we going to take the opportunity? Or are we going to be like Pope Gregory and only send two guys who are never going to make it? And because of that, a whole nation, a whole continent almost, was thrown into darkness. Do you shine for all to see? Or is your light hid under a basket? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we ask that you help us to let our light shine. That light, in reality, is ours, but it doesn't come from us. It came from you. So, Father, we praise you. Help us, Father, to not be afraid to shine our light. To be willing and able to use what you've given us, the truth you've given us, so that we may gain more truth and be lights that shine into the world, into dark places all around us. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.